earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice.
Going about on the road, but they would not answer him, because on the road they had been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must place himself last of all and be the servant of all." Then he took a child and had him stand in front of them. He put his arms around him and said to them, "Whoever welcomes in my name one of these children welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me." Amen. And may God add understanding to what it means to follow him. Amen. At one point in this talk, we are going to actually do an exercise, work together as the people of God, that's going to require you to get up out of your seat, as Billy Graham used to say, and move and talk to somebody else, just for a short while. I'm giving you that warning, so if you're nervous, you can build up your courage, so that if you fall asleep, you will know, others will know, because you will not move. So just a little bit about. We've got just three slides today that will give us a lead in. Our theme for the year is simply gospel, but we're actually thinking about this weekend, which comes before the church weekend, about moving towards togetherness. And that certainly suggests a forward motion, and it suggests a goal that we're aiming for, togetherness. And you've heard a very simple reading from Mark's Gospel, and it's a passage where one thing always sticks out to me. Something else, of course, may have stuck out as you were reading it, but it's the fact, as we're thinking about moving towards togetherness, that the disciples argued. Okay? Probably one of the greatest hindrances to the growth of God's people is God's people. They argued. Okay, that could mean that we could stop for a little bit of time and think about that. On the way, they argued about who was the greatest. And Jesus, as we know, preached a very different message about greatness and serving. Okay, remember, this is historic Jesus. This is Jesus that existed without doubt, not just because spoken of in the Bible, but in historical texts of the time. He is currently ministering at this stage in Capernaum. The Bible passage actually tells us around there, the Sea of Galilee. So not down in Jerusalem, here, but here amongst these people. He has moved from the synagogue to the seashore, and now he's moved indoors, and he's talking to his disciples, and in fact he's challenging them, and they're embarrassed. What were you arguing about? Remember, in another occasion we're just told that Jesus knows what human beings are like. He doesn't need anybody to teach him about human nature, and that is an essential, that we need to also understand human nature as well. Moving towards togetherness. You may see that I've used an image of a vine, and I could have used many things, but I've just put that on there today. The work of the Holy Spirit is always promissory. Might be a strange word to you, but it has promise. The word and the work of the Holy Spirit, God promises what he is going to do and what he can do. We heard something about that from Isaiah. But the work of the Holy Spirit is always promissory. We're moving towards, we're straining towards the time that Jesus returns and brings in his kingdom fully. So we don't yet fully experience what God has for us. There is so much more that we have to discover and know. And we're not just waiting for that day when the Lord Jesus returns. We want to see the kingdom of God here and now at work in our situation, in our countries and in our workplaces. So we live very much in the reality of the present, but we are moving forward to that time. So the reality, as we said in Hillary's poem that was shared, some of us have hope, some of us are hopeless. But in fact, in God, we can find that hope that there is for all of us about what God is doing. The reality of the present is incredibly important. What are we like as a church now? Are you together as a person now? Are you out of relationships with any other people? What is our togetherness with God? What is the reality of the current situation? How are we approaching next weekend and the weeks beyond that as we think about togetherness? Togetherness in the gospel, togetherness in Jesus. What is the reality? Are we even arguing amongst ourselves? Jesus calls people to be with him before he sends them out. And again, that came out in our worship. And from Matthew's gospel, we've reiterated that time and time again. Come to me. Come and be with me. But he does go on to send us out. But we need to spend time with Jesus, because our togetherness comes from actually knowing Jesus Christ. Before we're sent out to tell the good news, the gospel of God's kingdom, we need to have experienced it. We need to know it in reality. And the reality is that if we're to move towards a greater togetherness, then we need to be with Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus individually and together. We need to have what we might call a cruciform, a cross way of living, shaped by the cross. That means we're willing to forgive. We're willing to serve one another. There's a humility and a gratefulness about our lives that starts to bring a change to our old nature. So the cross will always be in the centre of our togetherness, the cross of Jesus, and also our taking up our cross every single day and dying to ourselves. Because if we're not willing to die to ourselves, then we will not have the togetherness that Jesus promises. So togetherness can sound incredibly cosy, can't it? But actually, togetherness can be really uncomfortable at times. And we sometimes have to stay with being uncomfortable to get to that point where we experience the real togetherness. Three suggested things. Our togetherness comes from gathering around Jesus, being with Jesus. And I don't mean once, but from constantly coming to Jesus. The church is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's quite a nice way of describing the church, isn't it? What is the church? Well, we say the church is not the building, it's the people of God. But it's the church is a fellowship of and in the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. There are all sorts of fellowships, all sorts of togetherness in the world. But the church is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So just as we sense the Lord's presence, maybe you did, just the Lord's wings, Lord just descending upon us in worship, the Lord's presence. Yeah. The church is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So we're claiming a lot. As Christians live in true fellowship, so God is glorified. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And therefore, the corollary is also true. If we're not living in togetherness, then God is not glorified. God is glorified as we live in togetherness, in true fellowship. And the word, you know, many of you will know, the Greek word is koinonia, for fellowship. And Paul said to the Romans, who came from all different cultural backgrounds, who liked eating different types of food, who liked dressing in different types of clothes, who liked doing all sorts of different things, and they were very varied like we are, said, accept one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And this acceptance of one another, even if we are from different cultural backgrounds, even if we speak differently or look differently, is important in the togetherness. The leaving aside of peripherals about what people eat, or whether they celebrate one day as more holy than another, or whether they dress up or dress down for church, are insignificant. They are unimportant. If someone is accepted as we have been accepted in Jesus Christ, then we are to accept them. And this brings praise to God. It brings glory to God, this acceptance of one another with all of our difference, that we don't have to ask people to comply with externals like these things. One of the reasons for the death and resurrection of Jesus, and one of the reasons we experience all the outcomes, the blessings, one of the things that actually happens is a togetherness. That's why Jesus died, that we might have a togetherness with God, a greater integration within ourselves, that we might become more whole. We start off very broken and very damaged, all of us, but also a togetherness, a living fellowship of the Holy Spirit. These things are possible because of what Jesus has done. And we're to be the testimony, the witness of that. It will not be easily achieved. It will be through struggle. And we'll suggest why in a moment, because of our human nature. Okay, this is the bit where you have to move. So let's stand up if we can, everybody first, then I'll explain. Right. The best thing you can do today is actually to find somebody you may have never spoken to. But what I would like you to do is to talk about, just for a short while, what activities we actually do as God's people that promote a togetherness. Try and give me the answer. Some of it will have to be religious words, but try and give a range of it. Don't give me what you think are the more holy things, okay? So what activities do we do as God's people that promote togetherness? If togetherness is so important, right, so if you could move, that would be wonderful. Somebody very special will get to speak to John, who's never met John. That would be a lovely thing to welcome him. But what sort of activities? Try and stay away from your husbands and wives for once. If you're sitting, go to somebody. You may know them. Most of you know one another, so you have to. Mary, do you want to go with Alice? Could you go with Alice? I know you know her. Colleen, do you want to join with Bernie? Eva, you can come with me. Right, Eva, you're with me. You're with me. Okay. Oh. We're being asked what we do that enables us to be together as a church. What sort of things do we do that enable us to be closer together? And people are discussing that. So, what do you think we do that helps us become closer together?
You preach.
I say we do. I preach.
Yes.
So that makes us together, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And you.
What do we do, though, together that makes us stronger together?
You have to go to church, something like that.
So you meet with other people?
Yeah, meet with people, and you talk about church.
Yeah.
Yes. And
but what makes our what makes our friendship stronger? To have a little bit of feedback. Okay, one of the things that we do is to actually listen to one another can help. So let's practice that. Okay, I'm going to ask every single group, Eva's going to start us off, what's one of the things that we can do that make us stronger togetherness?
We sing together.
We sing together, okay?
We eat together.
Shh, okay. Okay. Singing together, eating together. Right, Katerina, Liz, Mary, Alice, anything?
Well, we had the global day of meals and that.
So, eating together.
Sports, community sports. It brings a togetherness as well.
Brilliant, slow down there. You can only have one. Eating together, doing community sports outreach together. Liz, Katerina? Don't repeat what's already been said, because if you've got it, you've got it.
Meeting together to study things like the Bible in small groups.
Okay, meeting together, studying the Bible, yes? Anything from you, group?
Yes,
We've
been sharing precious memories.
Okay, now that's very interesting, to have precious memories. Some people would call it corporate memory. And identity keeps us together. Brilliant. Chris and Sandy?
We said much of the same, but we do realise that most of the things we do go on inside this church building.
Okay. You won't ask that question, but thank you for a preacher's point. Okay. Welcome back from New Hampshire. Right. It's something I do. If you want to make a point, you always slip it in the reply. Okay, you guys, what do we do that makes us together?
This slightly echoes on what Chris was saying, but I think just meeting socially in each other's homes is something that's...
We share our homes together.
But it probably doesn't happen enough in terms of just like enjoying each other's company and just chilling out and finding something else that you never knew about somebody.
Okay, discovering things about people, meeting in homes, not just in the church building, doing outreach outside of the building. The church has left the building, as Lola said, you know, which is a brilliant thing to do. Anything else? Becky, Shona, round there? Things that make us stronger together. I was going to thought you were going to say we dance together.
The talent show. Like on church weekends as well, and also here.
Absolutely. Praising God together, doing fun things together, and so on. Brilliant. How about Balaji at the back and Tay?
We thought a movie night would be a good
movie
idea.
Movie nights, that's interesting, isn't it? We're watching movies together. Shola's really with you on that one. I hope she's going to be allowed to. You're coming out after dark, Shola, for the lock-in. We will see. Anything else from here, Lola and Liz?
It sort of encompasses what people have already said, but the vision building day is an opportunity for all those things, discussion, prayer,
vision
building.
And seek God together. Either at Vision Building Day or at church members' meetings. Yeah, anything else? No, I'd rather have Mikael and Jim. Sorry. I know I did that. Sorry, Helen.
You're on.
Save some time for the end. I don't want anything to be repeated at the moment just because of time, because we're running out.
Yeah, I was talking about actually when you actually go out and work as well, because you work with people and it's about sharing. And it's actually living the church outside as well in work.
Okay. I do accept that, but slightly, that's slightly different. I do accept that, that we are the church in the workplace, but we're talking, and but we're talking about togetherness with Christians at the moment in joint things. But yes, I do accept that vital point as well.
I suppose sort of linking to that a bit, we were talking about doing tasks together rather than sitting and chatting.
Absolutely.
So it
working
could be
together.
Painting and decorating.
So I'm really sad that because we've had to, we're not going to do the washing of the walls during the church weekend, which was the fact that often we do work together. There can be a fellowship, by the way, a different type of fellowship with people who are not Christians in other tasks that we'll talk about in a moment. Very quickly from this side, sorry, and then we've got to move on. Anybody? Hilary, anybody, quick.
Communion.
Right, we break bread together, and that is where the eating is, it's not just a ritualism, not just a ritual meal, communion, it is actually within the context of the love feast, of the relationship, all right? It's incredibly important. Akin, anything from there?
We talked about things that don't make us come together, like being busy, and we thought about willingness to come to church.
Okay, you're going on to the next point, the rest of the sermon. Well done. You've got you all trained as good preachers. Anything from Mesh and John? And Susie's just stayed awake.
We just thought the afterwards tea and coffee, important to just not rush off, but to share, talk through what we've heard, or even how people are, how people's families are, an opportunity to talk one-to-one.
Just talking and listening. Adi, and then the back row. Okay.
We were thinking about going out together to hospital, prison, and help the orphans and elderly.
All right, so more of the outreach type things when we do things together, which we often call mission. So doing mission, whether it's community sports or visiting people in hospitals or prisons or giving food or doing street pastors or food bank or all the other things that we do, it can be right from the back row.
Yeah, I don't know if this has been said, but sharing the responsibilities of the church, such as teas and coffees, welcoming, flowers.
By sharing, which is the word I want to emphasise, by a sharing of the responsibility. That is brilliant. The last one, you got it.
Sharing. You haven't said anything.
Thank you. Giving what?
Giving up. It's not just ourselves, our food, our time. It's giving our money and the resources.
Wonderful.
That we have.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you're going to go away, I hope, and think of many ways, not just in which our togetherness is expressed, but strengthened as well. Which is why some people take a very long time to actually commit to belonging to church, because they recognise, actually, it does involve a sharing of responsibility. But it's a growing thing. When you come to belong to a church, however that's expressed, whichever type of church that is, it's a growing thing. It's a moving towards togetherness. And I was saying to somebody yesterday in a community house I was visiting, you know, don't ever wait for yourself or the church to be perfect before you get stuck in and involved in that togetherness, because it will never arrive. We've said, and it started to be said over here, that our modern Western lifestyles make this very challenging, because already you're saying, well, I haven't got the time for togetherness. We are so incredibly busy pursuing wealth and the lifestyles that we feel that we are entitled to, that we don't really have enough time to really consider, I think, our togetherness. Except perhaps at a weekend like next weekend, and hopefully whenever we meet. But so many people opt in to the bit that they want. But Jesus was talking about something much more. And in the West, we are beginning to see and recognise that there is a downside to incredible busyness and pursuing wealth. And the downside is often isolationism and loneliness. not just reports like this week that we find it incredibly difficult to care for our elderly, and not just in England, but in China. They're building a home for 5,000 elderly people because they've had children with one child in and there's not enough people to care, and work hours are so long. Family life also doesn't always live up to the expectation people have. We've been taught in the West to think that if you get married or if you have a family, that is going to be wonderful. Well, it obviously isn't for very, very many people. Living as a single person in a flat or a house of multiple occupancy leaves many people choosing to at least seek a room of their own. They don't want to live with other people because it's not a very good experience, togetherness, necessarily. Yesterday I was in one of the community houses that Victoria Park Home 65 has been involved in setting up. It's a community house in Clapton. There are about six people plus many, many other people live there. Some are married, some are single. They're all engaged in the community. Nearly all of them are Christians, but not quite. There's somebody there that will be dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. But at the moment she's just trying to make the point that she's not going to do that. So they have to be very, very patient. But she's chosen to live there because the experience is so good with Christians, and her grandmother was a Christian, a founding member of a church. But talking with them about the joys but also the difficulties. E123 Mission House. You might like to ask Mikhail, this is another house that four churches and two housing associations have enabled to happen through a large financial investment for four people from four different churches to be involved in community sports. You might like to ask Mikhail, what are the difficult things with living in a Christian mission house? It isn't always easy, just the same as it isn't always easy to really live as a Christian family in a household, or single Christian people. It isn't always easy. Many people can experience a togetherness even if they're not Christians, right? Something like AA actually calls itself a fellowship because they have in common that battle against the addictive personality that they have that results in them abusing alcohol. But they experience a real fellowship. And most human beings are very well aware that we cannot live our lives in isolation. But some of us, even as Christians, are very choosy who we will share our lives with. That's why Paul had to say to people in the church, accept one another and work hard at togetherness. Don't just think it's going to happen, and don't leave it to other people. If you really believe in the togetherness that comes through knowing Jesus and following Jesus, you have to work at it. It isn't easy to keep on being hospitable to strangers. It isn't easy to keep on forgiving, but there are tremendous joys associated with it. And if you follow Jesus for some years, you'll be able to look back and see amazing experiences. But you have to keep doing it, because togetherness is giving, present continuous, sharing, present continuous, praying, present continuous, studying, present continuous, all welcoming, present. All those things are ongoing. A church never arrives. A church is always becoming and moving towards togetherness. Christian fellowship has much in common with other fellowships. So some people commit themselves to a project, or as Jim says, to a task together to develop something. And you can experience a real togetherness with other people of like mind. But Christian fellowship is distinctive from all those other types of togetherness, which are important. We will be spending not just a weekend, but several weeks thinking about this togetherness. And the togetherness that is possible when we're focused upon Jesus. So he's called us into a mutual relationship. He's described what togetherness is. It is loving one another as he loved us. That's Christian togetherness. That's Christian fellowship, based on that whole idea of agape. So he calls us to share a common life. And we see in this a means of bringing the world to faith in Jesus. Because Jesus says, if the world sees your togetherness, they will know who sent me. And you can read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 23. If they see the togetherness that you have, the love for one another, then it will add the stamp of authenticity to my whole ministry, he's saying. So whenever the church does not exhibit moving towards togetherness, people doubt our Lord. They doubt who Jesus was and why he came. Now, the early Christians' rich communal life that we read about in the book of Acts was the major attraction to the pagans, those who weren't believers, of that day. That was what was attractive. See how they love one another. Look at what they're doing together, moving from home to home, sharing what they have, helping one another's children. And not just keeping it to themselves, they're helping all sorts of people. And that was what made the message of Jesus attractive. So if we have one solution, we have many solutions, but one of the solutions today in a world which is experiencing isolation and loneliness is for people to experience the fellowship, the community that comes through the Holy Spirit. That is not to rule out all other important things that we are investing time in. When we're local school governors, when we're teachers, when we're working with those with disabilities. All of that is important. But there is nothing more important than demonstrating the good news that Jesus brings the true togetherness with God, with one another, and to ourselves, that our lives are becoming more integrated. We should be becoming more whole as people. Fellowship is not just an end in itself, but it's expansive, it's encompassing of others. It's not just saying, we are so cosy, we don't want anybody to come and rock the boat. Fellowship is always the open door of Jesus. We want others to experience and know Jesus. And we're not just trying to have that fellowship which just involves us. We couldn't, because this is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always drawing other people in. You know, I never want to see people turn up and leave because they don't receive a welcome. I don't know why that man came in at the beginning of the service and stayed for 5 minutes, but I'm just praying that God will touch his heart. You know, fellowship is longing for others to join each day God's people. Togetherness is a challenge, and it's a check on me and my individualism. It's a check on me every time I meet for worship and meet with other Christians that I'm not just doing my own thing, but I'm concerned for the common good. When we come to the church weekend, it's not to do my own thing, but to work for the common good and to see this church grow in how it expresses the love of God in all sorts of ways. God has never intended his people to live in isolation. So a living, loving community compensates for my weaknesses and challenges my personality and the problems I have. It's the very fellowship that causes me to grow as a person as I'm challenged by other people the way they live and to keep on growing and changing. And sometimes I let Jesus down and somebody else makes up for it. It's a fellowship of grace. But I never say, what you see is what you're going to get forever. Because we're coming together and it's outworked. The Holy Spirit changes us very much through our interaction with God's people and with the world. So we need to play our part. I loved Susie's statement about shared responsibility. So the vine is up there because it's a picture of togetherness from John 15. It's a picture of togetherness. I close with these thoughts, and this includes me sometimes. Sometimes we as people like to come and play around the vine and experience some of the blessings, the good times, the social events, the singing, asking for prayers or for help. But when the sun sets and the working week begins, we forget about the togetherness of the vine and we go off and live our lives as we think fit. And just being the people of God has got to have an effect on me at other times and change myself in the workplace, myself in other situations. Just being. But the picture of the vine is not of us sitting and taking the grapes. The picture is us. We are the branches. And from Jesus, our togetherness in Jesus, the vine grows and it bears fruit. Other people can eat of that and become a part. So the challenge for us is to think about the kind of togetherness that Jesus calls us to and understanding why. It's one of the reasons why on the back of your flame sheet you will see a covenant written out that some people have used in prayer recently, saying about what brings us together and what our vision and our purpose is and what we are. And I think we have so much to discover about togetherness. And we will be doing that over the next several weeks, so not just next weekend, and being a part of that. I hope it's something that we'll go away and reflect on. Now, we've run out of time, but I'd like us just to be still, because the danger is that we lose the seed that has been planted.